Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid at 5-6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an APP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a family decides to forego a visit to the cemetery, the loved one visits them instead. I like that. That's what I would do.
I know.
A boy seems to be completely engulfed in the battle he's watching from the window, only he is the only one that can see it. An employee of a family business can find no source for the after-hours carnival music, and a security guard is followed by a ghost while the other guards watch via a security camera. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Carnival music is creepy no matter what setting it is in.
I know. I was trying to think about what would be the creepiest type of music to hear, and I think carnival music just might be it.
You know, it's designed to be joyful and fun. Is it just because, I don't know, we now in today's setting, it is kind of looked at more, you know, I don't know, in a creepy light, just because the idea of going to the carnival is an old idea.
Yeah.
In a lot of, you know, it's not, the carnival comes to town. At one point in history, that was the main form of entertainment that was out there. Now it's like, oh, a carnival's, you know, or the fair is coming to town, whatever you want to call it. But it's different.
Yeah.
It's a different, totally different mindset on it this day and age than there was 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a gazillion sources for exotic music, if you will. And I guess carnival music at one point in time, if you didn't hear it on a regular basis, which you wouldn't, would have been pretty exciting and neat. And now it's just creepy and old, I guess. Carnival music is like the antique of music.
Yeah, it kind of is. I will say, though, as far as creepy music goes, when I was in high school, sometimes I would go up on Saturdays and work with some of the scholar type projects that were going on. I was a mega nerd. I didn't have anything better to do on a Saturday, so I would go up and do that. And we had a janitor who'd been there like 25, 30 years, and he would pipe the old country music through the intercom system when he was cleaning. And I'm talking like Hank Williams Sr.
Oh, that's creepy
and
too, yeah.
you know, really old, just twangy and just loud enough that you hear it. It sounded like somebody's going to get murdered today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just really bad.
Yeah. The last radio station that I worked at, they had an AM station, and for a while it played classic country music. And when you have an AM station, for those of you who don't work in a radio station, which is probably most people, it tends to bleed over, if you will, into other facets that can produce sound. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, people like hear radio or sound waves through their fillings. It's like, because there's, in our building, the AM transmitters are right there. It makes it much more powerful, if you will, for it to be picked up on random shit where you shouldn't be picking up a radio signal. But no matter where you went in that building, speaker or not, there would usually be very slightly, if in the complete silence, you could hear that station through something. And I'm not making, I mean, you could have radios that were off. Mm-hmm. You could have devices that simply had a speaker on it. You know, you would come through the most bizarre of things. And it's a creepy thing when it's kind of just that tinny, old radio sound. Because it was an AM station, so you had that aspect to it as well. And it was very Silent Hill.
Well, truth be known, the station that he was playing when I was in high school was that station. But it's the FM. It was FM. It was sure. Before you guys made that changeover to modern music. Uh-huh. And because the only reason I knew what station it was is because right at noon, Paul Harvey would come on.
Uh-huh.
So, it yeah.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's very creepy when you hear it and you're like, where the hell is that coming from? And it took me a while to realize that. Remember when I first started working there, I'm like, there's nothing on. Why am I hearing old classic country music in a room where there's like nothing where it should be coming from? And that's just, it's just weird.
It's the ghost of the former owner.
Oh, and there was stories too I've had of, not from this station, but other stations that I've worked at, where the antennas are out there and the towers are out in usually farm fields. And sometimes they're quite a distance from the radio station. But sometimes there's obviously farmers that will live out near their farm fields and sometimes near these towers. And there was many a stations I worked at where those farmers would be after the radio station constantly because the radio signals were then doing that to their homes. And they couldn't like watch television because the radio was coming through their television or insert, you know, weird device here that has a speaker on it or that can pick up some sort of signal. And then it'd be constantly, you're stationed and you're trying to brainwash. No, it's just, you're living underneath in it.
Go get you some tinfoil, make a hat.
Makes you wonder, is that healthy? You know, when it's coming through that much, I almost wonder about those waves sometimes. And if you're that close to the wave, that close to the antenna, is there any adverse side effects? There can't be a whole lot of studies done on people who live underneath AM transmitter towers because there's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
But there's enough.
I don't know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Neil writes in, hi, guys. I'm a big fan of the show. I'd like to tell you about an incident in September 8th of 2012. I was a police detective and had been on the job for 29 years. I live in a village in the UK in a modern house, only 10 years old. At 3 a.m. that morning, my partner woke me and told me someone was downstairs. I can hear a loud noise and made my way to the kitchen where I found the extractor fan above the stove had been pulled out and turned on. We had eaten a salad and had not cooked, and I checked the whole house and it was secure. It's impossible for a fan to turn on by itself. It has to be physically pulled open. We were a little spooked, but eventually we fell asleep. At 7:30, my partner went to work, and I was off duty, but was still tired after a very long week at work. I was then awoken again by a rattling from my partner's wardrobe. I put the pillow over my ears, but the rattling continued. Exasperated, I opened her wardrobe door and saw the coat hangers strongly vibrating. Put my hand on them, and they stopped. Got back into bed and it started again. I opened the door and they were still vibrating. I again stopped them with my hand. Behind the wardrobe is a bathroom. Nothing else is vibrating. Got back into bed and tried to go to sleep again. But once again, it started. Finally gave up and got in a temper. For some reason, I still thought nothing strange about the two incidents. That evening, my granddaughter came for tea. She was only little at the time, and we both sat in our conservatory at the table as my partner brought the food. And I sat at the head of the table with Ella to my left, happily eating away. My partner came in and put her plate down to my right. She couldn't sit due to my running shoes behind the chair and bent down to move them. I looked over to see what she was doing and then saw her big, heavy chair move silently away from the table for about a foot and then silently move back. I looked at Ella, who was busy eating. I knew her legs couldn't reach the chair, never mind move it. She turned around, and from the look on her face and the look on my face, knew something had happened. I later moved the chair again from Ella's position to the rubber, feet loudly screeching each time. Nothing else happened that night, but I was very spooked. The next morning, my mother rang and said that she had expected me to have phoned her the previous day. I said, why, as I didn't ring her every day. She then told me that it was the anniversary of my father's death. I was horrified. I had never forgotten that day before, but I'd been so busy at work and was mentally tired. Nothing spooky has ever happened in the house before or since. My father died 14 years before I bought the house and had no connection to anything apart from me. To make the day more strange, my mother had moved from our old house that she had shared with Dad for over 45 years because of drug-dealing scum moving in next door. So this was the first anniversary that Mom had not been in that house, where in fact Dad had passed away. I've always been interested in the paranormal, but in all the years and in the police, had not witnessed anything of note. I cannot think of a logical explanation for the events of that day and can only conclude that my father was trying to communicate for some reason. I've never felt his presence since his death. Don't know if it will come to the same conclusion. I would love to hear this aired. I became an EPP a few weeks ago. Neil.
You know what I wonder? Since the mom had just moved before the anniversary, and they had lived in that house for so long, maybe he didn't know where to find her, but he knew where to find Neil.
Okay.
So he went to Neil's instead. You know, I'm just trying to think of the coincidences here, which, you know, I don't like that because I don't really think that they exist, but I'm trying to think of the oddities with this particular anniversary.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, because, you know, you have so many things where it's like we have stories of ghosts being able to influence thought, come to you in thought or in dream, or do all these crazy superhuman things to communicate. And then we run into the situation of, oh, they just need directions.
I know.
They don't quite know how to get there. And it makes you wonder, well, how can they do all that, but they can't do this?
I think they just have different abilities. Just different ghosts have different abilities. I mean, I was just trying to think, why wouldn't there be activity at Neil's house on the anniversary? And that's the only thing I can think of that's really different.
Or was he just trying to get the attention to make him think of Dad so that he called his mom?
Could be that, too.
A little reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, call your mother.
Could be that, too, because he said that this was the first anniversary where he didn't call, so that might be it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. It's impossible to know the answer, but it's an interesting thought where we're talking there of something so simple, something so not. Maybe some things that are so simple to us in life are not so simple in death, and things that are nearly impossible in life are very possible in death, and some of those things just kind of change level of difficulty.
It seems to be the male ghosts that get lost more. The female ghost asks for directions.
There we go. It's Jenny's sexist ghost comment of the day.
I rarely say anything sexist.
I know. I was going to say we should do a daily segment. And here's Jenny's sexist ghost comment of the day. But I can't think of anything sexist ghost-wise you've ever said before, so it can't be like an ongoing feature.
I couldn't resist. It was a lost ghost.
Unless you like plan for it. And here's my sexist ghost comment of the day.
It would take so much effort. It wouldn't be funny.
Our next letter comes into us. I'm going to say Concy, or it's probably not Conky.
No, but that's what I thought of when I saw it. I would say Concy.
Okay. Concy writes in, Dear Tony and Jenny, this is Conky.
No, don't do that. This poor person has no idea what you're doing.
Watch the show Trailer Park Boys. There's a character named Conky in it, and he talks like that.
It's a puppet. It's not a character.
It's a character.
It's a puppet.
And it's not a puppet. It's real. It has feelings, too. You'd be nice to Conky. You've seen what it can do. Just ask Bubbles. Dear Tony and Jenny, my name is Consi. I'm originally from Brazil. My first language is Portuguese, so please bear with me if it is not the usual way you read a story, and please forgive my spelling. Love your podcast. I've been listening to you guys for the last 3 months, and you have helped me to not be bored when I have to drive for a couple of hours to work. It makes my trips go fast. I'm an EPP now, and I'm so glad to know that others had paranormal experiences, as well as I don't feel that I'm crazy after all. This story happened when I was 8 years old. I'm now 58 years old, and I can remember everything like it was today. It was November 2nd, the Day of the Dead. We celebrate our dead loved ones by visiting them at the cemetery, bringing them flowers and saying our prayers. November weather in Brazil can be very hot, considering that it is close to the South Pole, so it's just the opposite of the U.S. I was visiting my grandma that day. A little background, my grandpa died years before I was born. In that very house, there was another room outside that my grandma had a wood-burning stove in. It, like another kitchen, and she used to make soap to wash clothes out of the ashes from the burned wood. In Brazil, we're used to walking a lot and use buses to go to places. My grandma never drove, so we would have to go walking to the cemetery that was about 3 miles or more. So I was in the living room playing with toys, drawing when I got hungry, and went to the kitchen where my grandma was. That's when she said to me, "We're not going to visit your grandpa's grave today. It's too hot. We can go next year." That's when a gray, very concentrated smoke came from outside through an open window from the kitchen. Slowly it floated through the kitchen to the dining room, turned around, and faster blew back to the same window that it came from. Confused, I asked my grandma. She looked very pale with wide eyes. "Are you making soap, Grandma?" She answered, "I haven't made soap for a week. Go put your shoes on. We're going to visit Grandpa." Later on, I remember her telling my aunties and uncles all about it. She said Grandpa made sure she would visit him. What are your thoughts? Thanks for reading my story.
I think all these ghosts want to be remembered on the special day, like Day of the Dead in this case, and last time it was the anniversary of death. I think they just want to be remembered.
Yeah, whatever the day of typical remembrance is for them, mm-hmm. they're going to show up. Whether you want them to or not.
Yeah.
So make plans to visit your dead loved ones today. This reminder brought to you by your dead loved ones. I don't know. I got nothing else there.
Okay.
So there you go. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. I was afraid that they were talking about ashes in there and soap and dead people. And I was like, oh, God, is she making ash soap out of grandpa or something?
No.
Like
no.
Rule of Fight Club. You know, I did see an interesting video that someone had sent to us of a brand new way to use your dead loved one's ashes.
Oh, gross.
New from Ronco. This actually is an artisanal type deal where it's, you know, like blown glass. And glass that, you know, turned into vases and designs and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this video showed a person who makes, I mean, very beautiful glass sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do with it is they take the ashes of the dead loved ones and they kind of artistically infuse it into the glass. So there's like a tornado-esque sphere of your loved one's ashes in this giant glass globe, and it's not like you shake it and their ashes fly around. It's permanent. It's raining on the city. You know, it's
not a snow globe of grandpa.
It's not a snow globe of grandpa. Grandpa is not in. Although that is a new idea that we could start marketing. It's like go to the dollar store, get a bunch of snow globes. Send us your loved ones, and we'll put them in with a sleigh. That could be horrible.
That's terrible.
No, but this is it's like an artistic thing.
Okay.
So I mean, you could, I don't know. I mean, it they do look very tasteful.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose, you know, it's not a bad. It just depends on what your thoughts are on it. You know, if it's something you're open with, I would think that, you know, it's if you are going to have your loved one in your house, it's a lot more artistic and I would say, I guess, displayable than just your typical urn.
Okay, now...
Although you do see the ash.
Okay, that was my question, was if you saw the ash.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was somehow, you know, mixed in to the point where it's in there, but you don't necessarily see it.
You mean like how I have to hide onions sometimes in chili, where I literally pulverize them into a juice?
Yes.
No, it's not like that.
Okay.
It's, it is literally... it's seen. I mean, it's part of the design.
Okay.
If you will. You can see like the lines swirling and it's the ash that's making those lines. And it's like colored glass and there's all different ways. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's an interesting thing.
Yeah. I don't see it being much different than an urn.
No, it's just a different way of displaying.
Yeah.
Now, snow globe, that's a little.
That's bad.
Totally different story there.
Yeah.
Our next letter today comes into us from Roy, and Roy writes in, when my brother and I were kids, we always went to Scotland or Wales with our grandparents and their travel trailer. We used to camp in...
their lay-bys, like you lay by the side of the road. Their side of the road campgrounds.
Like a Walmart parking lot of the United States.
No, like, you know how along, like, Route 66 and some of the little two-lane highways, you'll have, like, a little campground?
Okay.
Yeah, it's like that.
Well, you can park, you can do that at Walmart parking lots. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
It is completely legal.
Yeah.
They encourage you.
I know, and it's probably safer than some of these little campgrounds, but I remember staying at some of those.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I never heard the term lay-by.
I didn't either. I looked it up.
Must be a term more commonly used over there than in the States.
I think so.
Okay. So they'd stay at the lay-by on the side of quiet roads. And back then, there was very few trailer parks. It was in late June. And while my grand made dinner, I wandered to the top of a small hill. When I looked across the plain, I saw the most amazing sight. Tens of thousands of soldiers, knights, archers, and horses fighting a tremendously violent battle. I could hear the screams and cries of wounded and dying men and the terrible whining of hurt horses, the sounds of swords clashing on swords and shields. It was like watching a scene from Braveheart, but way more violent. As I was watching, I saw a man crawling towards me, crying out and trying to reach out to me. I'm sure he was asking me for help, but I couldn't understand him. It was a language I'd never heard before. It could have been a version of French. Then another soldier ran up to him and stabbed him 6 times in the back. He looked at me and grinned a toothless grin, then ran back down the hill, screaming a war cry. I was frozen on the spot, absolutely terrified. I then nearly jumped out of my skin as someone grabbed my shoulder. It was my grandfather, and he said, "Come on, Roy, dinner time. What are you looking at? You've been up here for an hour." "I'm watching the battle, Grandpa," I replied. "The what?" he asked, and then turned around to point out to him that there was nothing there. Everyone was gone. It was just a beautiful Scottish evening. Felt very disappointed that no one else saw what I did. When I told my gran and brother at dinner, they told me not to make things up. My granddad told them to leave me alone. "He's just got a good imagination, that's all." I was pretty angry, but didn't say anything. The next morning, we were driving down a narrow road, and we came to a junction. I said to granddad, "Turn left, granddad, please." Normally, I wouldn't have, as he always planned our route the evening before. But he did, and we drove up the road and came to a parking lot with a large statue of a man on a horse. Jumped out of the car and ran up to it. The inscription read, "Robert the Bruce, King of the Scots, 1306-1329. We were at the site of the Battle of Bannockburn. I'm not saying that right.
I don't know.
Bannockburn, I think Bannockburn. I'm going to go with that. Sorry to all of you who know the battle better than I do. Where Robert the Bruce, outnumbered 4-5-1 in June of 1314, beat the English and won Scotland their independence. I was just 7 years old at that, and that was my very first visit to Scotland. I know this sounds incredibly far-fetched, but I'll go to my grave knowing what I saw was real. I went back about 15 years later and felt as though I knew every inch of that battlefield. I knew where the swamp was and the hillock where I stood all those years ago, but there was to be no repeat of the battle for me. Though I did get the chills as I walked up to the top of the hill that stood there, gazing across a battlefield, but that could have been the cool Scottish breeze blowing across the plain, couldn't it?
I think that's an awesome story. And, you know, part of me has always wanted to see Ghost of the Civil War doing that, having a battle.
Like in battle?
Kind of like this, but... You know, because that's my thing, Civil War ghost. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
I would be probably freaking out if I looked over there and just saw this going on, like, oh, a war broke out right over there, right when we're about to have dinner.
Yeah.
Damn, we're not going to get cornbread now. That would be disturbing. Although it sounds like he connected the dots pretty quick that he was seeing something paranormal.
Yeah.
And didn't really think there was a war going on right over the way.
Sure.
But that would be, it's interesting. It makes you like, was he connected? You know, is there some sort of, you know, reincarnation at play here? Is, you know, all, there's so many possibilities.
I know. The way he seemed to know the landscape so well and only have been there one time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's like a child who, when brushing their teeth one day, suddenly just tells you, hey, I died in a spaceship that started on fire. Our mission was interrupted.
Yeah.
That's two and knows nothing about space travel or missions or anything of that nature.
We let those things go. Move on.
Will writes in, I went to a tech college in Johnstown, which is about an hour from Pittsburgh, for a period of winter in 2015 for a top-notch tech program. I had a few weird experiences happen to me there before I went there in the winter. I was there for 2 weeks in the summer of 2014 to see if I liked it. During the 2 weeks in the summer, me and a few guys and a couple of girls decided to hold a seance to see if we could contact the dead. The weekend before I got there, a kid had overdosed on his meds, so we asked if he was there. Nothing happened. While we were goofing off, my friend John said he saw something in the window. Took a couple of photos on my phone at the direction he sat, and he saw nothing. In the photo, there was something that looked like two glowing red eyes. My bathroom, the door was open. I lost the photo when I had to get a new phone. When I came back in the winter, more things happened. I returned in the winter of 2015. My roommate Jay, he was with us when we did the seance in the summer, and had several more weird things happen to us. I began to find my things moved around and things missing. At night, we both would hear the sounds of a woman outside our door very, very late at night, around 2 or 3 a.m. Whenever he or I would hear it, we would open the door and no one would be outside our door. At this college, no one may leave their dorm after 11 p.m. on weekdays or 2 a.m. on weekends. My brother had sent me a John Lennon poster, which I put up above my bed with a couple of thumbtacks. One morning, I was going to visit home and set my alarm at 5:45 a.m. to get ready to leave and catch a train. I slept in 15 minutes and suddenly the poster fell to the ground. That made me wide awake, and I got ready as fast as I could and left. When the day came that I have to leave, I was so happy that I don't have to be there anymore.
College ghosts.
It's never a good idea to have a seance.
No.
I recall very few times where it like ever really, really helped a whole lot. I mean, maybe got some confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe got, you know, but sometimes... other doors open, other odd things happen, and it's just kind of like, maybe we should.
Well, even if you, you know, if you're using a Ouija board or not, mm-hmm. if you don't close it.
Yeah.
Sometimes even if you do close it, things still happen. Things still occur later on, and you don't know until a while. So it's like that door never closes.
Yeah. And I'm going to take a wild guess. I mean, a lot of times, you know, college kids trying to have a seance, probably none of them extremely experienced in the etiquette
Mm-mm.
of what should or should not be
just
done.
A wild guess there.
Just a wild guess. Could be wrong, but just a wild guess. Lola writes in, hi again from Los Angeles. I've written in several times, but this story isn't my own. You might remember the story about my sister working at a haunted swimming pool. She's had many more experiences than that, but this is the one she most recently shared with me. There are several doctors in our family, and we own the building where they work. It's been in the family since I was a little girl, and I worked there as a receptionist for several years myself. When times are tough, we sometimes rent out the back room to other doctors or massage therapists. The other thing to know is that due to a severe flood several years before, the office basement that used to have storage and an additional office are now empty, as we had to throw everything away and never got around to filling it back up again. The back office is next to the stairs to the basement. When I used to get creepy vibes when working late about 12 years ago, I chalked it up to my imagination. Turns out there might be something more. I received a call from my sister a few days ago asking me to stay on the line with her as she was freaking out a little after receiving a phone call from the therapist renting the back office. He had stayed late to get some work done. According to the therapist, he had been working alone around 7 or 7:30 when he began to hear music coming from somewhere in the building. He described it to her as carnival music. It was coming from downstairs or directly behind the closed and locked basement door. This means it was either echoing up from downstairs or the source of the music was on the stair behind the door, mere feet away from this man's office space. The basement is closed, locked, and stated previously, very empty. No childhood toys, televisions, radios, nothing. It is an independent building, so it doesn't share walls with any other buildings, and the only neighbor is a very quiet church and an equally quiet home, neither of which are known to use anything that would sound like carnival music. Needless to say, he got out of there very quickly and called her. Unfortunately for her, this happened as she was on her way back to the office to pick up something she had forgotten. I stayed on the phone with her as she quickly rushed into the building and grabbed what she needed. She didn't hear any music, and I didn't hear anything over the phone except our conversation, as she'd asked me to distract her so she wouldn't hear anything. She didn't want to. After a lifetime of weird hauntings, we're inclined to avoid any supernatural conversations we don't have to deal with. She did say, however, that the air felt very thick and heavy. Her office is on the other side of the back of the building, next to that same door. I doubt she'll be working late much from here on out. What I want to know is, why carnival music? Can't imagine anything creepier. Also, I'd like to let Tony know that I, too, love today's special and used to wake up early to watch it as it aired on PBS around 6:30 in the morning because I had a crush on Jeff the Mannequin. For the record, Jody was the store's display designer, and the mouse name was Muffy. Today's special, it's for everyone. Dun, 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 dun. I know all the music. I know how to sing the song, and I loved that show.
You still remember it all these years?
It's the magic in the air, a world for us to share. It's different that they want to meet us there for today's special. Today's special. Today's special is...
Okay.
Haunted Mannequins. Yep.
I have no idea why there'd be carnival music in this building. And I know she asked why carnival music, and I don't know. I don't know, and it makes me wonder if maybe there was a carnival that had set up on the grounds there before the building was built.
It had a horrible, tragic lion-eating-the-crowd accident.
I don't know. It's hard to know, but that is about the creepiest music you could have just randomly playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult thing to source.
Yeah.
I would look into that, see if there was some sort of horrible carnival accident there. It sounds horrible to say. But, you know, wouldn't that be creepy? You go to the archives at your library and you're like, and the carnival came to town in 1845. Half of the town disappeared after that carnival because, you know, something really horrible.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Why carnival music?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could also go a whole other way, too, where it's just, it's one of those things that if it's something dark, it knows it can incite some sort of fear or anxiety, and that's the sounds that it happens to pick to use.
Sure.
Lots of possibilities there.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. Anonymous writes into us, at the time of the story, I was a security guard at a federal research facility working the midnight shift. I was doing a tour of one of our larger buildings, and this building has a long hallway, about 150 feet, then a quick right and left turn, followed by another 150-foot straight section. There's a vestibule at the bend in the hallway. The vestibule has a locked door, followed by a card-activated turnstile with laser trip lines that set off an audible alarm and send a signal to the dispatch center, followed by another locked door that leads to a courtyard for outdoor dining. It was about 2 in the morning. I started to walk down the hallway I described above. But halfway down the first long stretch, I heard footsteps. It sounded like they were about 10 feet behind me. I turned around and saw nothing. I started to walk again and heard the same footsteps. Again, I turned around and saw nothing. I got to the bend in the hall and then to the second long straight and to the end of the hallway when the dispatch center called me on the radio and said, 41, that was my radio call sign. We have an alarm going off at the cafe vestibule. Could you check it? I want to do the radio sound. Here we go.
41, we have an alarm going off at the cafe vestibule. Could you check it out? Might be a mannequin named Jeff. His hat may be on.
That wasn't half bad. Most of the time I pick at your sound effects, but that wasn't bad.
There's also a talking mouse named Muffy.
Okay.
I was a little freaked out because I had heard footsteps behind me, and now there was an alarm going off at the vestibule I had just passed. I ran down to the vestibule and heard the audible alarm going off on the turnstile in between the two locked doors. Both doors were still locked and there was nothing in the vestibule that I could see, and the alarm eventually timed out. I radioed down to dispatch to say that I had checked the area and there was nothing. After I did, I radioed back and said,
"Yeah, 41, you're going to want to come down here and take a look at something."
I went down to dispatch. They played me back the video of me walking down that long hallway, and you can see about 10 to 15 feet behind me, a ball of light was following me. You can see me stop and turn around twice and look directly at it, but I saw nothing at the time. When I take the turn at the bend for the hallway, it stops for a second, then goes through the locked glass door through the turnstile, setting off the alarms. It can only be set off by a solid object breaking more than one of the lasers at the time. Then through the second locked door, and then off camera. I had my ex-drill sergeant supervisor come in and see the video, to which he said, in his southern drawl, ready? You do something better than I do.
You go for it.
I'm bad at accents.
I'm not going to do it.
Man, that must be a moth or something. Bad?
Okay.
Okay, I'm just not good at accents.
Okay.
So, unless it was some kind of miracle moth, there was really no explanation as to what was on that video. The building has been around since the 50s, and I was told that where the vestibule in question was located used to be the main entrance before they added on the new building 15 years prior. Unfortunately, due to the nature of the work done at this facility, I couldn't get a copy of the video or even show anyone the video. So all I have is a cool story to tell all the new security guards to creep them out before the start on midnight shifts. Thank you for all the work you do on this show.
Could you imagine being the security guards there watching the camera and you see this go on?
No.
I think that would be it'd be scary but hilarious at the same time.
I'd be waiting for it to turn into like The Ring, where suddenly like, oh, and then it flies up to the camera and then hands start coming through the screen. That would be what I would be fearing.
Okay.
So, yeah, creepy story, and too bad you couldn't get that video.
Yeah.
That would be very interesting. That's like one of those things where it ends up being on The X-Files,
mm-hmm.
which we're watching now, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it's back on Fox, and this is not an advertisement by any means. But we watched some of the new episodes and went, maybe we should try the old one. Started watching it. This is great. It's pretty good. I mean, it's kind of more alien-y.
Yeah, which is not in our, that's not what we talk about much.
No.
So it's kind of interesting to see that.
Yeah, I mean, and really, quite honestly, watching, because they have like all the old episodes posted, I think we're seeing it on Hulu, I don't know, it's like, it's on a couple services, but for being a show that we're watching the episodes from 1993,
uh-huh.
Which would have been about 11 years old when they came out, they look pretty good, and they still really fairly well stand up
mm-hmm.
for being an old show, which is just kind of funny, because put it in perspective, watching a television show that is that old when we were kids and we were 11 and we're like going and watching Nick at Night. And at that time, Nick at Night was running like the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah.
And Leave It to Beaver and other, 50s and 60s shows.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, they looked so old. They did not stand up to what was current on TV at that point in time. It would have been like Who's the Boss and Full House
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature. But it's an interesting perspective where you look back on TV shows that are about that age. And if our kids are watching them, and they're not watching The X-Files, but they hold up a lot better.
Yeah.
Like, our kids can watch Full House, and it doesn't seem like it's that old of a show, I think. Where it's like, I can't relate to any of this when I was watching, like, Leave It to Beaver. But our kids can watch some of those shows and really feel like, oh, this was, this is a new show.
Sure.
To them. It's perspective.
It is.
Maybe it's the color.
I think it's the color, and I think it's the fact we grew up with it. So in our mind, it's not that old.
That's true. It does feel like 1995 was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got upgraded from Windows 3.1 to 95. Haley writes in, "Hey guys, massive fan from Sydney, Australia. I'm 19 years old and have had many weird things happen to me and my family. I think we have spirits in my house that were there before my parents moved in and had me and my sister. I also think some family members that have passed over the years come to visit as well. Sorry if I sound weird. One morning, me and my sister woke up hearing a noise from the kitchen, thinking it was my mom washing dishes. The noise went on for 10 minutes. My mom walked out to her room, and my sister and I were very confused. We asked her if she'd been washing up, and she looked at us funny and said, 'I've just gotten out of bed. Me and my sister noticed that the noise stopped. A few nights later, I woke up around 2 or 3. I could hear footsteps around the front room leading up to my room, and then it would stop, and it sounded like it turned around. I could hear our fridge opening and closing, and then the footsteps would start all over. Sometimes they sounded like dragged footsteps, and it would make a loud noise because we have floorboards. I began to get really scared and ran into my mom and asked if I could stay in her bed because I was sick. In the morning, I told my mom what had happened, and she said to me that she has heard a lot of that. This would go on for weeks. There have been times when something has tickled our necks or called my mom's name. Sorry if this is boring. I have many more stories that are a bit more intense, so if you'd like to hear me share some of those, I'd be more than happy."
The dragging sound of a foot, or, you know, that kind of walking and dragging.
Yeah.
That, I can remember, was on. My mom had this old record from when she was little of Halloween sounds, and that was one of the sounds. And we'd always open the windows and play it really loud on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So I know exactly what that sound is, but it was not real in our case.
It's one thing when it's coming from the record.
Yeah.
It's another thing when it's coming from nowhere.
Yeah.
It's, and then you're just like waiting for like suddenly the bubbling sounds and then the chains as well. And then like a steady beat. And then, "I was working in the lab late one night." It's like, oh, somebody's just playing Halloween music, but there's no one here playing it. That's what I would do to screw with people. I would go with, like, and play back some of these real creepy things as a ghost, like old records, to make it sound much scarier than me, and somehow project that through things. Like, oh my God, what the hell is that? Wait a second, this is a song, but it shouldn't be coming out of the microwave. That's what I would do.
It's the AM station.
Exactly. You just use your ghostly powers to do something like that. Rudy writes in, "Ouija board. Many people like me thought of that to only be a myth or just some other board game. I grew up in the projects of San Antonio, Texas, and one thing I can say is that I love to always be outside and do some really dumb things. My mom, who experienced many paranormal encounters, has once told me her experience with a Ouija board. My mom was the person to talk a lot and tell about her childhood stories, but most of the time, I thought she talked about a lot of gibberish. So, to the story, my best friend Brian, a paranormal-loving teenager, had got a hold of a Ouija board from his uncle. On Friday, I thought I would sleep at my friend's house at night and test this Ouija board. Life, mom, uncle, sister, dad joined on to play the Ouija board. We pulled the Ouija out of the box, placed it on the floor, lit some candles, placed our hands on the magnifying-looking object, and started to ask it questions. We didn't take it as serious as I think we should have at first. The first serious question was, do ghosts actually exist? Now, the game didn't work until we took it seriously. Before the game got serious, we were playing around and moving the magnifying glass on our own until then. I wasn't feeling others move it. I felt a presence move it. I got mad and scared. Then I remembered asking it, when will I die? I regret asking such a thing to my whole life. I remember the kind of laughing because we sat there for a whole 5 minutes of silence. Doors locked, candles went out, and whispers filled the room. I actually started crying as I'm 27 today, and this happened 17 years ago. So being 10 years old, I didn't know what to do. Ran to the door, used whatever muscles I had to open the door. Everyone else in the room seems to be paralyzed in fear. I thought that asking this question is going to take my life. By some miracle, I opened the door and ran out of the apartment so fast I actually couldn't control myself. I went home and told my mom what happened. We went back the next morning to find one of them scratched on his back. Scratch looked like a claw. The Ouija isn't a game. It's a board that could ruin your life.
So did he never find out the answer?
I want to hear the answer.
It's kind of like...
Maybe he just doesn't want to repeat the answer.
At first, I thought maybe you know, he said there for 5 minutes they kind of waited around, and I thought maybe the ghost was debating whether or not to tell him.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a good slogan, though, for the Ouija board. They should put them in the box. It's not a game. It's a board that could ruin your life. From Parker Brothers. Yeah. By Menon. I think that'd be a good tagline.
Yeah.
Lots of people would buy it based on that.
Sure.
Victoria writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Thank you for reading both my previous stories. The first one was about my Christmas music box, and the second one was about my out-of-body experience with the sandwich. It's just one of those things, without perspective, could sound a little crazy. My out-of-body experience with a ham and cheese.
I vaguely remember she floated downstairs to make a sandwich.
Okay.
Seriously.
That was one of the stories.
Yes.
I probably read it.
You did read it. Okay. It's just been at least a couple months.
A long time? Okay. So I do have some vague recollection of a sandwich and a story.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably it. So, okay. It was a story.
It was
just a story. So everyone knows.
Yeah.
It's an out-of-body experience. Was it a club sandwich? What sort of lunch meat was used? That's the real question.
I do not know. I think it was ham.
B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Here is a story that happened to me when I was 17. Over the summer, after the Christmas music box incident, I lived at my aunt's house. Before I go on, I want to point out that I knew their house was haunted after they bought it. Not by something dark, but more like a child. I don't know how I know that, but there have been many sightings in that house by different people. Of a little girl. I think it's a spirit that has followed them from their previous house, but that's another story. My uncle has a lot of random objects. They owned an actual slot machine, and when you won, it made all sorts of noises slot machines make and spit out coins when you won. After we're done with it, we have to turn it off and unplug it, or it will keep making noises. My aunt didn't want anyone playing with it anymore because she had a newborn, and it was really loud. While I was there, I slept in her toddler's bedroom in one of those car beds. They kept all the toys in there as well. Every night since I lived there, the toys would go off and make noises. A lot of those toys were plush to play, or push to play. It creeped me out, so I put them in the closet and put a lot of blankets over it. The night after I did that, I woke up to what sounded like an alarm. Checked my phone, and it wasn't my alarm. Get up to follow the sound, thinking it was someone else's phone going off. I was going to tell them to turn it down or turn it off because I was very tired. As soon as I opened the door, I realized it was the slot machine. Walked towards the room that it was in to turn it off, but as I got closer, the sound went lower and lower until it was right next to it, and there was no more sound. It was completely off. So I walked back to the room and lay down. As soon as I closed my eyes, the slot machine noises came back, and they were somehow louder than before. Again, I got up and went down to turn it off, and when I reached it, there was no sound, and the machine was off. So I reached down to unplug it, and you guessed it, it was already unplugged. Go back to the room and lay down, and it went off again. At this point, I was so annoyed, I put a few pillows over my head, went back to sleep. Next morning, I asked everyone if the slot machine woke them up. My aunt looks at me funny and looks at my cousin and says, no, what are you talking about? That machine never went off. I say that it did and kept me up for about an hour. My aunt said if it had gone off last night, the baby would have woken up because that thing is loud. We've had it unplugged for a couple of weeks now. I don't think it was exploding head syndrome because the music and the slot machine was still going off when I woke up and started walking to the other room. I was fully awake the second time it happened. I think the spirit was upset with me because I hid the toys. I have plenty of stories from this house that I would love to share that I'll write in later. Thank you for the great show and for reading my stories.
I wonder if it was one of those cases where the spirit was somehow able to manipulate who could hear the slot machine and who couldn't.
I don't know. It makes you kind of wonder about that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, or if it was going off at all and somehow the sound was just being projected.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit was thinking, oh, they think it's a slot machine.
Because that's a long time to be awake and to be mm-hmm. hearing that. Because I could see if you're falling asleep thinking you're hearing it.
Sure.
And it not really making any noise, but that's a long time.
And I have that sort of stuff happen to me all the time where I'm thinking I'm hearing things and I'm not.
Right.
And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, no, just a dream.
Mm-hmm.
But up and awake, up and awake, up and awake, if you're going around doing stuff, it stops.
Yeah.
It's usually only when you're in that kind of dream state. So, oh, very bizarre. Thank you for that story. Nikki writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Here's a weird short story for you. My boyfriend and I stayed with my sister over the holidays. She lives in a townhouse that was probably built within the last decade. One night of our visit, we were sitting in the living room watching TV. My sister and her husband had already gone to sleep. Looked at my boyfriend to ask if he was ready for bed when I heard a click from the switch and noticed a lamp go off in the hallway. I immediately asked my boyfriend if he saw it, and he told me he didn't know what I was talking about. I explained as I went to look at it, fully expecting the bulb to have burnt out to explain the click. It was a little lamp with angels on it that had a rolling switch on the cord. When I turned the switch, the lamp flipped back on without a problem. I thought it was strange, so I told my sister about it in the morning. My family seems to be pretty attractive to odd occurrences, but we don't talk about it very much. Immediately, my sister replied, "I swear to God, this place is haunted," and told me about frequently seeing a figure passing behind her in the mirror when she was getting ready for work. Her husband didn't believe her until one night she was having trouble sleeping and moved into the guest room. He was woken up 3 times during the night to someone sitting on the edge of the bed. He'd wake up thinking it was my sister coming to bed to find himself alone. This is the best, weirdest part I think you'll like. My sister told me her strangest experience was going to the bathroom one night. She has a sort of bathroom where the toilet is in a little closet. Going into the closet, she said she was confronted by a man standing in front of the toilet. She didn't give me a description, just that he wasn't threatening, but she said that she was face to face with him as she stepped around him to go to the bathroom. If it were me, I'd probably just say, "Excuse me," and ask him to leave. But this is how we deal with the paranormal in my family. Thanks for reading. I hope to send more stories in the future. Well, thank you for that fine visual.
Yeah, there you go. So in the middle of the night, when you go to our little toilet closet, you can just open the door and expect to see somebody there. Say hi.
You know, I fear that every time.
I know you do.
I don't look at the mirrors.
I know.
I have my head down, and I look into the little closet as I walk in there.
And I think I made it twice as hard on you when I hung mirrors above the nightstands.
I still look down now when I get like, I just don't look at any mirrors.
Sorry.
This is the hell that I
know.
Endure.
I know. I really torture
Jenny hanging
you.
Mirrors.
Yep.
But the thing Jenny does not know is that Tony replaced the mirrors with real antique glass.
He did not.
No, I did not.
No.
That'd be way too much work.
I know.
But that's a creepy thought. Look forward to some bedwetting, Jenny.
Oh, great.
And on that note, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to support the show and me building another bathroom that isn't in a closet so I can actually use it now that I'm scared of the mirrors and the closet, please become an EPP. Keep our show on the air. That your funding is what does keep this thing online. It covers all of our hard costs of distributing the show, posting the show, hosting the show, all that fun stuff that costs money to do. So please consider helping us keep doing this thing, because we enjoy it and we hope you do too. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month and you get all those bonus episodes. So check it out and thank you in advance. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.